The following program is brought to you by Audio Journal, a radio reading service intended for a print-impaired audience. Material is selected with the interests of its audience in mind, with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, its staff, or volunteer readers. Welcome all to Audio Journal's Poets' Corner, the program that offers its print-impaired audience and other listeners the opportunity to listen to poetry of people from all walks of life, of those from the distant past right up to the present day. This production is brought to you in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind. I'm George Blomquist, and for the next half hour, I'll be reciting poetry from the pens of writers such as Hala Alian, Lina Khalaf Tufaha, Marlon Jenkins, and Hajar Almoste, to name but a few of the fine poets found in the entrancing anthology, We Call to the Eye and Night, Love Poems by Writers of Arab Heritage, Persia Books, 2023, edited by Hala Alian and Zina Hashimbek. In their introduction to this anthology, the editors write, in part, Here is a book about love. These poems portray different kinds of love of self and other, of family and place. We have chosen a whimsical way of arranging the poems, letting the various types of love exist alongside one another. Each section of the book takes its title from a poem within it, suggesting subtle and playful associations, and the poems do indeed sing and beckon of the ceaseless ways love manifests itself within and beyond space and time. So, with that said, I'll now open our program from part two, called Her Grief into Bread, Her Joy into Butter, with the poem titled Tonight I'll Dream of Nadia, by Hala Alian, in which the narrator melds thoughts of loss and comfort. It reads, The hairstylist has known me for 15 years, and he croons, Pretty, pretty, while burning my curls straight. I forget how you can miss the crocuses peeking through your life. I love this country, and the other one, and the other one. It's all salt when I visit, za'ata and scrambled eggs, pumpkin seeds, bowls of loaves. Nadia is in the hospital, and when I enter her room, I call out to the doctor, I'm sorry, this is the wrong, before interrupting myself. I pace the wires along the bed. I write in the language none of them can read. Forgive me. I didn't say anything about the wedding in Beirut or how I really thought I'd come back. I just read the Fatiha and touched her hair, and the day will come when a young woman in Beirut will muscle her way through a nightclub and dance until her feet ache, and I won't be on this earth anymore. The fledgling tree near the pharmacy will bloom and die and bloom, and the hairstylist tells me to lean forward. My hair falls. The hairspray hisses. Pretty, pretty. When I ask the doctor if she'll wake up again, he says, Inshallah, a gift, a falsehood, and I thank him for the prayer, for the antimicrobial soap, for my uncle later that night in the nightclub shouting, I love my people, and the music moving my hips, and the hairstylist grinning in the mirror, and I am everyone's daughter, everyone's wife. I muscle through the crowd to dance. I feel her hand in my hair as the machine breathes for us both. Our next verse finds the speaker recognizing that the difficulties of life of a loved one, of an offspring perhaps, can see brighter days if only that loved one approaches life with the proper attitude. It's called Ever Laboring by Lina Khalaf Tufaha. I know you fly, even on the delicate days, even as I practice for the next ending, this clamoring, marled winter ocean. This is not melancholy, only a new country where I am again, immigrant, itinerant notebook, nimbostratus. Once I served as your home, and still I reorder these bones you no longer need for shelter, the wandering rib, the molus fracturing, the tarsal cluster anchoring me to earth. It is possible, always remember, it is possible to cleave your own life from the bedraggled structures where it resides, to let it break on the wind, a spectacular banner, a brilliant crystalline song. Lina Khalaf Tufaha was born in Seattle, Washington in 1975 to Palestinian and Syrian-Jordanian immigrant parents. She was raised in the Arab world, and she is the author of three books of poetry, Water and Salt, Khan and Her Sisters, and Something About Living. Lina enjoys gardening and recreating ancestral recipes. Her loves include the perfect cup of coffee, Arabic, the Mediterranean, and her daughter's laughter. Here's a humorous song of praise of the narrator's stubborn patch of hair comprising his eyebrows. It's titled Ode to My Unibrow by Marlon M. Jenkins. Perhaps it is not pronounced enough to easily notice, at least from a distance, but praise be to the hairs populating the Bering Strait, or more accurately, crossing the Mediterranean, bridge like cedar planks with black nails, bridge like the boat my Gito came here in, bridge to Dearborn, Michigan. The hairs stand up like spines, like each is a monument over the bridge of my nose. Since high school, I used to keep the middle trimmed, use clippers to separate such striving for togetherness, in the name of neatness, I told myself, though how so many of us have tried to pass, and true, that is a form of survival, but this now also a form of thriving, of what refuses to be cut down any longer. So praise to be the hairiness of my Lebanese family shares. Praise be to owning what may keep the TSA's eyes on us, though, God willing, not their hands, and to hell with the TSA while we're at it. And praise be to pride and to the Muslim man at the gas station who asks if I am a Muslim too, and though I am not, praise to be being seen as a brother, and to the beard and back and knuckle hair while we're at it. An oak with so many of its leaves refusing to enter another shaven autumn, a cedar holding tight to all its needles. Born in 1991, Marlon M. Jenkins was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, to a black father and Lebanese mother, and they currently live and teach in Minnesota. They are the author of the poetry chapbook, Capable Monsters. When they're not teaching or writing, they're most likely watching anime or playing video games. In the following verse, the poet cleverly uses elements of the plant kingdom as a metaphor for his affection for his beloved. It's titled Ananas by Alger Almosle. It reads, He gave her a pineapple plant for love, a rosette of fragrant tropics to decipher the calligraphy of her voice with a crown of sepals, each a stylus to taste anew the uncharted journey of her name and spell love on the silk road of her tongue. She lifts her head from the heart of night, her neck a lighthouse, eyes opening to the yawn of an oryx sleeping, and whispers the other name she knows for the fruit he gifted her for love. Up next, Body Love, Part 2, by Nusaiba Imadi, in which the speaker reveals the mental anguish of self-loathing and the seeking of comfort in love. When the phone in your hand turned to water and everything becomes intangibly far, the points in your mouth start bleeding on schedule. You've started naming the bruises on your legs after children you'll never have. This body, with its curves and breasts and blood, has never been your own. Eve's ribs echo inside of you, singing a crescendo of an inheritance you could never escape. Her skin is wonderful, like her name. She's a giggle in my mouth. I can smell the lilacs in her hair, the tart lemon on her lips. She braids her hair, strings crystals into the strands. Makes crowns out of mint leaf. She walks into the adult store, folds her body into Kamat Karasana, tells the world to throw vibrators instead of stones. She cries openly, gives her grief to her tribe, tells them of the hurt, asks for comfort or love. You want to learn to pray, bend your knees, call yourself holy on a prayer carpet with your fingers inside of you, beckoning for you to come home. She folds her grief into bread, her joy into butter. This is her body, her blood, reminding her of her life. Born in 1991, Nusaiba Imadi grew up in Damascus, Syria. She is currently a doctoral candidate at the University of Minnesota, where she analyzes narratives of suicide in the writings of Arab women. Her work has been published in Kordai Poetry Review and Misna. She lives in St. Paul, Minnesota, where she claims to be acclimating to the temperature. She craves the ability to cherish the monstrous in herself. The following poem of 7 couplets, or 2-line verses, contemplates what constitutes a wasted life for people from different walks of life. It's called Ghazal, A Wasted Life, by Dima K. Shahabi. She comes upon the husked stage, heavy in winter velvet, and sings, "What I saw before my eyes saw you was a wasted life." Dandelion, basil, oleander oils the skin over his parched elbow. What mitigates tenderness, his pain or her fingertips, at the gauze of a wasted life? "It's raining," he says, "and what waits for me through the storm is a mystery. But your eyes are dark, excavated with dreams, and are no cause for a wasted life. A labyrinth of gallows notwithstanding, Andbara scrambles to find her love. She sees him from a distance in a lagoon of skin, bones, claws of a wasted life. Augustine, my love, doesn't lean into the slightest breeze. It wells its roots through a pleat of rivers with no pause for a wasted life. No need to weep like a woman for what you could not defend as a man," she says, as Boabdil looks back toward Granada and withdraws to a wasted life. "A light not touched by fire," she declares, "is nothing but a thirst for belonging, and the sting of your stubble against my mouth's applause for a wasted life." Dima K. Shahabi was born in 1970, and she grew up in the Arab world to Palestinian parents. She's the author of 13 Departures from the Moon, and co-author with Marilyn Hacker of Diasporenga, and co-editor with Beau Bressolel of Al-Matanabi Street Starts Here. She loves the faces of her loved ones and oak, poplar, and cypress trees. Looking for self-respect and self-dignity is the subject of our next poem, titled For Palestinian Girls Who Have Considered Suicide, by Tala Abu Ramahem. Nothing is worth dying for, not his smile or voice, or the way he played with your hair, or the times he told you he is going to talk to your father, not to worry, and all the places you let him touch because you were sure he was going to be your husband. To hell with him. Your body is your body, vertical and horizontal. Your skin is your house, and no one gets to ever tell you not to come in. Imagine having keys to your own apartment. Imagine there is a world in which girls like you gets to choose things. You'd wake up late, panic about what to wear, run to the train, then remember you forgot your lunch in the fridge, rolled grape leaves stuffed with parsley. Consider the weight of your keys, the doors they opened to worlds you knew existed, when the bomb grazed your bedroom window. You are certain there was something beautiful right outside here. Nothing is worth dying for, because someday you might end up living. Tala Abu Ramahem was born in 1984. She is a poet, translator, and a social worker. Born to refugee parents, Tala grew up between Palestine and Jordan. Her poems have appeared in many anthologies and magazines. Tala loves her tiny but mighty daughter and the ability to recover and start over after displacement and loss. She also loves that we all have an immeasurable capacity for love and acceptance. The confounding complexities of loving another human being is explored in our next verse called The Sleepwalker by Ruth Awad. Love was a room I kept walking into, ink-drenched, star-slick, rusted in a downpour of street lamps. I hunt my wild god, set loose on your winged heels, howl down your babble, moon. If it brings one feather to my door, I'll wear your scent like an animal carries its young, each gentle fang the last place that mourned you. Show me where leaves wet the ground, and my bright throat blooms. Lantern, seed, lover, curse. This is how the night survives us both. I can always hear it baying. Born in 1987, Ruth Awad grew up in the Midwest and is the daughter of a Lebanese immigrant father and American mother. She is a 2021 NEA Poetry Fellow, the author of Set to Music, A Wildfire, which won the 2018 Ohioan Book Award and 2016 Michael Waters Poetry Prize, and she is the co-editor of The Familiar Wild, On Dogs and Poetry. She lives in Columbus, Ohio, where she works in public relations and executive communications. She adores her rescued Pomeranians, handmade jewelry, and the scent of jasmine. Up next, Poem for an Empty House, by Zina Azab, wherein the narrator relates her flirtation with desire. It reads, You guess that I went home to an empty house every day, your eyes two flags at half-mast. Was I right? You asked. Do you feel lonely? I wanted to explain that on my way, I stopped to smell honeysuckle hanging over the fence. Neighbors look out kitchen windows to wave. A hand of Fatima welcomes at my door. Later, there's a nightly meander to the river. Sometimes the moon rises in the east. Really, my life is fine, I want to say. But you knew that my biggest wish was to open the front door to smells of onion and garlic frying, a chef at greeting. He would wrap his apron around my back and draw me near, salt and pepper in hand, spices for desire. I'd let him gather me up like swelling dough exhaling. Then we'd fall to the floor, two spoons in size order clanging. Maybe my undressed eyes tell his story, or maybe you're vying for the role of chef, offering to chop onions and make me weep. Born in 1956, Zina Azam is the daughter of Palestinian refugees from 1948. After her childhood in Beirut, Lebanon, her family immigrated to the United States when she was 10 years old. She is the author of the poetry collection Baina Baina In Between. Zina is a writer, editor, and community activist, and serves as the poet laureate of Alexandria, Virginia, where she lives. She loves seeing the big moon with its soft light on the night before it's completely full, when there is still some daylight and the sun is at the opposite end of the sky. Back in the early 1960s, Neil Sedaka had a hit song called Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. Nowhere is that sentiment better expressed than in our next poem titled I Feel Like I Sprained My Damn Heart by Diane DeSillis. It happens, not the moment your lover says it's over, before your heart limps like a wounded animal, before you sink into the shelter of your own shadow, realizing you're afraid of nothing, not even the dark. Rather, it happens when you think the ache has faded, and you find yourself noticing the last crimson leaf unsling from its branch, its slow sway and soft landing, so light, so brittle, that when you touch it, it all falls apart. Here's another verse from Diane DeSillis in which the speaker relates the haunting feeling of the end of a relationship. It's titled, My Drowned Lover's Soul Inhabits My Dog. I dream of Todd, of touching his wool jacket, and it feels like my dog. I tell him I love him. I say it freely, easily, the way I tell my dog. He looks through me. Doesn't speak, his blue eyes filled with the sea. Along the shore, a picket fence leans. Wind-blown, it no longer separates land and water, only earth and sky. I turn to the water, tell it there is something wrong with that fence, the way it keeps its ear to the sand. The fence replies, I'm still a fence, but one that no longer takes sides. Some say our souls lose their boundaries when we die, free to become footprints that come and go. I look into the water's eye, blue as the eye of my dog, and realize the wave repeats what it hears. I say, stay. Morning, I wake to sounds of ball play in my yard. I slip into my white silk robe, study myself in the mirror. I seem a stranger. But not to my dog, never to my dog. Come, I say, come inside. The heartache of the care of taking care of a loved one is explored in our next poem, Gazing at the Unforgettable, Baba's Fragments, by Dani Badra. Well, hello. I never know what I'm going to know next. Unscrew my hands and wash them. Ergo sum quisum. There's too much history here. You know, of course, that you are the epitome. I'm glad that you were born the way you were, and that you were born. This is the part in the movie where we cry. There are times that touch. This is one of those times. Eventually, we'll get the wallpaper. I'm gonna miss this place. When I first came, I learned church. command me, command me. I was crying last night. All of this had to mean something. I know exactly how I'm going to sleep tonight. The first thing I do when I wake up is to go back to sleep, because I don't want to wake up. I don't want to get rid of you. Good night, sweet princess. Bricks and stones may break, but when it's warmer, I will walk you around the villa. When I walked into the earliest place, well, I thought, do we know what we know? I don't know why, but I love you. I don't know what to say when I pray. Spread yourself a thousand ways. Take me with you. We conclude today's program with a deep and abiding reverence and love of the wonders of the night sky, as portrayed in the poem Between Mykonos and Paros by Iman Hassan. If you could see the way constellations tilt, the sky's planetarium askew, the Big Dipper promising to spill its luminous brew on your lap when the boat is out in the middle of the sea, far from artificial glint, save what is offered by the night, you would, in your preambles, pause at the design of this map, the way dots of light braid ropes of sailors' knots. You would, lying on your back, sink into the aquamarine sway below your frail craft, reach your hands toward them as if to pluck one off its twine, and in the span of your palms taste its succulence, the ice of its spangle. You would, my love, fall up into milky spirals draped across watery corridors, ease the tension in your lips, loosen the strain in your joints, the knotted sinews in your thighs, then give up and be struck, as any tongue-tied novice rider would be, in their utterances before a natural eloquence no pulse of words can knit. You will remember me, then, as Mnemosyne, and in my remembrance let wind knots guide you. Let them navigate the hands of your compass between landmass and rocky language. You will recall this sea of verse as stars spread out before you are spread. Fill your eyes deep and feast. You've been listening to Poets' Corner, a production of Audio Journal, proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you have any comments or suggestions for Poets' Corner, please let us know by calling us at 508-797-1117 or by emailing us at info@audiojournal.org or by mailing us directly at Audio Journal, 799 West Boylston Street, Worcester, Massachusetts, 01606. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org. Or you can go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm George Bloomquist, thanking you for listening. And now, stay tuned for other local programming brought to you by Audio Journal.
This is not a public service announcement. This is a one-minute mystery.
Quick question. As a rule, how long will a so-called 8-day clock run without winding?
And here's the solution to our mystery.
If the clock isn't wound, it won't run at all.
And now back to our regular programming.